ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति. So today we'll do the summary of chapter 17, Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. Yoga of threefold division of Shraddha. Faith. The word Shraddha is generally translated as faith, but it is much, much more than faith. It is faith plus conviction plus consistency of purpose. In fact, in the third verse of this chapter, he says, a person is what his or her Shraddha is. It's the constancy and consistency of application that makes you what you are. So you are a bundle of vasanas, but whichever area you focus consistently is what you will be made of. So therefore he says, the Shraddha faith of everyone is in accordance to one's nature, O Bharata. A man is made up of his Shraddha, he is verily what his Shraddha faith is. So it is what do you with faith and conviction do consistently, that is what you become. So this chapter is called Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga, the yoga of distinction of three, division of three fold Shraddha. Now, this chapter comes from the last verse that Sri Krishna said in the 16th chapter. There he talked about following the Shastra. Tasmat Shastram Pramanam De. For you, the Shastra should be the Pramanam. And I already discussed about the word Shastra. Shastra means teach and protect. So, wise people of the past, from their own experience and intelligence, drawn out the wisdom for our living. What are the Sanatana Dharma which is applicable at all times in all walks of life? Those particular things has been brought out in the form of Shastra. So Shastra teaches us and protects us, helps us to live the life happily, prosperously and attain moksha finally. So therefore he says, Tasmat Shastram Pramanate. You must follow the Shastra. What Shastra does is, it sets the direction of a human being. Human being requires a direction in life, a purpose in life. Senselessly, we cannot live like animals. Because in the case of animals, they have been naturally protected. They may go in the direction of the senses and the mind, but nature protects them by controlling them. Whereas in the case of a human being, the intellect is provided. Therefore, it becomes important for us to learn and live. Swamiji always says in his lectures, living is an art, it's a technique. It's like playing a violin or a golf. Then the game of golf or violin requires a lot of learning and practice. Exactly like that. We think that thinking or living is like sleeping, eating. We don't require much of training. Much of an effort is not required is what we believe. But that's not the case. The mind requires direction. And when the mind is disciplined, it becomes qualified to gain the knowledge. Ultimately, every human being is only seeking one thing, and that is happiness or freedom. Happiness or freedom which is never broken. unbroken bliss, uninterrupted freedom is what we seek. So therefore, everybody wants it. But the problem is, we think it can be given by the world. Therefore, our mind runs towards the world. And there is too much effort required to get the world, which gives us pain. And there is no surety that we will get it. And even after getting it, it is passing and fleeting. And once it is taken away from us, it's even more, it's terrible. So we suffer in the bargain. Instead of happiness, we kind of get trapped and suffer. Instead of being free, we become dependent. So, ultimately what we want, all of us want, is that freedom and happiness, which is what we call as moksha, liberation. That is, there is no path, there is nothing can be done to get there. Because what the Shastras are telling us is, you are the truth, you are already liberated. You cannot find liberation. You are not bound. You are Atma which cannot be bound. But due to ignorance, you are now mentally bound. You need knowledge. But that knowledge can only be gained by a sattvic mind. The mind which is tamasic and rajasic cannot gain the knowledge. So from chapter 13 to 15, he talked about that knowledge from various angles. And 16 and 17, is the emphasis is on building that sattvic state of mind. That is extremely important. Without that sattvic state of mind, without a conducive soil, the tree will not grow even if the seed is sown there. The soil has to be conducive. So therefore, the preparation of the mind is what is dealt with in chapter 16 and 17. Jesus Christ also says, don't cast pearls before swine. They don't understand the value of it. So there's no point casting this pearls before swine. Don't waste your energy. Only in a sattvic mind, the knowledge should be sown and it will get converted into wisdom. If it's a rajasic or tamasic, it won't get converted into wisdom. Therefore, they say, Patiram arindu pichai podu in Tamil. Patiram means character, patra. Analyzing, determining the character, then give the dana. See, unfortunately what happens is, one set of people don't do dana. Other set of people do dana emotionally. You know, we are told, you know, as per our Shastra, we have to do dana. Yajna dana tapa should not be given up, is what even Krishna says. Okay, one should not give up dana. So what do? I have to give dana. The sooner the better. So what do? I just get out of my house and come out. And the first 10 fellows whom I see, I decided to give 100 rupees. So the first 10 fellows I see, I give them 10 rupees each. Yeah. The sooner I finish, the better it is. The hurry. So the rest of the day, I can earn my daily income as well as this 100 rupees that I gave away. So if I have a little more time, then it will help me to gain that 100 rupees which I gave away also. This is not giving. Giving requires a lot of discipline. In fact, many people have been converted into takers by unintelligent giving. This is the problem. We create the problem by giving. Because we are emotional. We just want to give. We feel good about it while giving. You've got to make sure whenever you do anything good, the receiver and the donor both benefit, both evolve, both has to evolve spiritually. The dhanam should be in such a way that the recipient also evolves. In the play Les Miserables, the priest gives the gift to gold, candlesticks, and tells the convict, son, life is to give, not to take. And that fellow takes it and becomes a greatest Karmiyu. He employs so many people, gives them job. So, Paathiram Arindu Pichai Podu, which means analyze the character and then give them. When we bring up our children also, we are so emotional in this country especially, we want to listen, tough situations, parents have struggled to up. I want such difficulties to my children. So what? I'll burn the candle on both sides. My husband also will burn the candle on both sides. And then, end of the day, what? We want to give the best life to our children. Not only that, we will work in such a way that we will earn for the great-great-grandchildren also. In parenting, your only responsibility is to make sure as much as possible that they have good character and conduct. Once they have good character and conduct, remember this, where there is sumati, there will be sampati. Sampati means, sampadhyam means what? What you earn, wealth, your acquisitions. So you, if you give them all sampadhyam of yours, but you have not given them sumati, and of all the sumatis, main sumati is the ability to think independently, the ability to think originally, that we don't give. We send them to the best of universities, Oxford, Cambridge, Cornell, is that, everything possible. But original thinking, no. So without that sumati, they only destroy themselves. So therefore, the whole thing that we need to understand is, build that character and then analyze the character before giving. As per the character, give. Because the soil is good, it will multiply, it will grow it. So, the whole idea is when the knowledge is sown by the guru, the knowledge has to help the recipient to become independent. The person should have the ability to absorb, digest, and evolve. So 16th chapter and 17th chapter is building this character, these qualifications, these values, these inner preparations, which are extremely important. So we saw some Daiva Sampati vis-a-vis Asura Sampati in the previous chapter. In this chapter, he is analyzing with reference to Shraddha, consistency. So, if all of us are in deep sleep, nobody, whoever is outsider, will not know who is a painter, who is a engineer, who is a dancer, who is a sportsman, etc. When we wake up, we know. They know. Because when we wake up, as per our vasanas, as per our interest, we will go into the particular field. Similarly, as per the mind, what do they identify with? What do they struggle for? what is their motive in life. Based on this, you can find out what is that they are really consistently want. A mind that is educated in the scripture will have the clarity as to what is good. The mind that is not educated in the Shastra, unless it is original thinker or it is got from purva, previous life, or it is born and brought up in a particular family in which these values are there, it becomes very difficult. So what happens is generally the mind will value what is pleasant. If you remember at the beginning also, Arjuna asked, tell me what is good for me. What is Shreya? So there is Shreya and there is Preya. The mind which has been exposed to Shastra will want Shreya. The mind which is not exposed to Shastra will want Preya. What is pleasant? This is the whole thing. And the mind that is running after what is pleasant is not qualified to gain the knowledge. The mind which is able to put up with the urge to get what is pleasant, but control and direct oneself towards what is good, that is qualified to gain the knowledge. That's the whole idea. Who is qualified to speak? One who has the ability to control and not speak. Who is qualified to eat sweet? One who has exercised. One who has burnt some calories. That person can afford to take in calories. So that's why we say, earn your living. You got to work and earn your living. Whether it is physical, emotional, intellectual, whatever it is. So you got to be qualified to gain this knowledge. So analyzes what is the Shraddha. So this chapter has about 28 verses. And it is split into 6 topics by Swamiji. The first topic is from verse 1 to 7. It analyzes Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, faith, Shraddha. And we already discussed Shraddha means faith plus conviction plus consistency of purpose. It's not a superficial faith. If you really believe, then you do it. If you are not doing it, then you don't believe. So in which field are you constant? You say that, listen, I believe in God. I believe in karma. What goes around comes around. But I go around hurting people. Then I really don't believe in karma. So if I believe, if I understood, I will never hurt anybody. So therefore, the analysis here is with reference to Shraddha, faith. Then he moves on to intake of food. Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, food. Food, specifically that which we take for our physical body. But technically, it is even food for thought. Any intake. Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, Ahara. In fact, in the 12 yajnas that we studied in 4th chapter, there was this last yajna that we discussed, which was Ahara Niyama Yajna. So what goes in is very, very important, because we have already seen GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. And if we are constantly taking in garbage, our life also will be same quality. So from verse 8 to 10, he discusses this Ahara. Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic, Ahara, food. Then, from 11 to 13, he discusses activities. What kind of activities do we involve ourselves in? Is it sattvic or rajasic or tamasic? Yajna. Activity. Sacrifice. That is analyzed from verse 11 to 13. Then verse 14 to 19, he analyzes tapas. Tapas means austerity, discipline, concerted effort. Again, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic effort. And then, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, dana, gift. 20 to 22. Sacrifice, tapas, and gift. Sacrifice, austerity, and gift. These three Shri Krishna mentions are extremely important. One should not give away. So what is that sattvic, rajasic, tamasic gift, danam, from verse 20 to 22? Then, in the conclusion from 23 to 28, the designation of Brahman is discussed, which is Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat, that reality, and asat, unreality. That is discussed from 23 to 28. Wherein he says, any activity is started by chanting Om Tat Sat and concluded by chanting Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat is a designation of Brahman, reality. So, those who wish to liberate, do every activity chanting Om Tat Sat, dedicating it for Om Tat Sat, and in conclusion also Om Tat Sat. Living purely with the idea of Om Tat Sat. That's it. Before, during, and after. Beginning, middle, and end. Om Tat Sat. So this is the topics in this chapter. So in the beginning, Arjuna is asking Sri Krishna, you have said in the previous chapter that one must follow the scriptural ordinance. Tasmat shastram pramanante karya akarya vyavastitau. What ought to be done and what ought not to be done? Shastra is the pramana. So, he's asking, there are people in the world who are practicing worship, but they may not be exposed to scriptures. What kind of Shraddha would theirs be? That is his question. If they are not exposed to scriptures, but they are also following, they are also worshipping, they are also doing puja. So what kind of Shraddha would that be? Faith would that be? What kind of benefits will they reap? Is that okay? Even if you are not exposed to scriptures, but if you are continuing worship. So Sri Krishna says, the Shraddha of people can be classified under three categories. Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic. Sattvic category of Shraddha will be growth oriented, good oriented. Rajasic Shraddha will be swelling oriented, acquisition oriented, pleasant oriented. Tamasic Shraddha will be indulgent, destructive, indolence oriented. Indulgence, destructive, indolent oriented. This is what he analyzes. Unreasonable superstitious, those kind of things they get into, tamasic people. And it's destructive. So, he says, the Shraddha faith of everyone is in accordance to one's nature. O Bharata, a man is made up of this Shraddha. He is verily what Shraddha faith is. Depending upon in which area the person is putting in the effort, the person evolves or stays in the middle or devolves. Sattvic person we have seen before evolves. Rajasic fellow stagnates. Tamasic fellow devolves. So he says, what do they worship? You can find out from that. Do they worship gods? Or do they worship demigods? Or do they worship ghosts and spirits? What is their identification? Worship means identifying with. Deva, devatas. Those sattvic natured people, they worship devatas. The contributive factors in the ecological system, the unseen contributory factors in the ecological system to which they offer. Their identification is in that direction. Whereas a rajasic fellow worships, for example, Kuber. Because he's told if he worships Kuber, he can also enjoy that kind of wealth. He's only interested in material world. So he's constantly seen worshipping such deities. So what kind of deities do you worship? What kind of method do you approach? See, even when we do bhajans, an extremely introverted person is quietly sitting and mentally singing, a maximum very quietly singing verbally with the organ of speech. But a rajasic fellow is jumping, dancing as he's singing. So, in the case of sattva, sattva itself means calm, composed, serene, balanced nature. Rajas is restless, passionate, greedy mindset. Result-oriented mindset. Whereas tamas is indolent, lazy, lethargic, heedless to consequence mindset. So a sattvic person is calm, composed, serene. He worships also such deity. The methodology is also in that way. And the motive is evolution, growth, liberation. In the case of a rajasic person, the deity is different, which is demigods. I gave the example of Kuber, etc. It's more of acquisition that they are interested in. And the methodology is also running around more physical oriented. In the case of sattva, it is more mind oriented. Here it is more physical. Because the desire is so much that he has to physically run around. He consistently is in that direction. He can't sit. In the case of tamasic people, he says, it's very crude. They worship ghosts and spirits. Their thoughts are so negative. It's very, very interesting actually. Sometimes you in the mind have some positive thoughts. An action could be something very difficult, you know. It could be at the material level or physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, doesn't matter. But something good. But it's not an easy task. Let us say, for example, you have an organization, you want to put in that effort to find the vaccine for this corona, or medicine for cancer, a cure for any other disease, a noble intention. Now it's a very Herculean task, it's not easy. But the fact that you have these good thoughts, yes, no doubt, your thoughts alone is not enough, your efforts alone may not be enough, you need a lot more efforts from different directions. But what is happening, they say in Shastra, is the positive energies in the nature, they get sucked towards you as you are vibrating positively, and with that Daiva Bala, the impossible could achievements are achieved by you. The same thing happens in the negative level also. If you vibrate with anger, jealousy, greed, arrogance, the negative forces in the nature, they get sucked towards you. And with those negative forces getting stuck, you know, towards you, attracted towards you, you get the tremendous balam to do that destructive action which is impossible by just one fellow. So it works both ways, positive and negative both ways. That is why it is extremely important to continue your efforts in a positive direction. They say never stop prayers. Never stop your association with good people. Never stop your association with Guru. Never stop your association with Shastra. Have Sankalpa. You know, to develop positive virtues. Read Puranas, Itihasas. When you read about Rama, Krishna, etc., etc., a lot of virtues goes in. So it becomes extremely important, because difficult is to go beyond the mind. And in the its positive sense. It's very difficult to go beyond the mind in the positive sense. So you need Deva Anukula. They say whenever you want to achieve anything, the three things are there. And Deva Anukula. Ishwara Anugraha. So therefore, you need to vibrate with good virtues. Then you will get the support of the total which is needed. One individual alone cannot achieve anything. Not possible. But one individual with good intention, working hard, dissolving the ego, attracts the positive energy towards him or her, and in due course achieves it. And such people, when they achieve, they understand that it is not just done by them. It is done by the forces helping. So therefore, the sattvic people, what kind of deity they worship, what is the goal, deity means goal, and what is the methodology, how do they approach, are they approaching it sensibly, calmly, with composure, or restlessly, observing these things you will come to know his. And these tamasic fellows, their goal is all ghosts and spirits. Associating with these negative forces, they want to take control, destroy others and take control and enjoy. So thus you will know what kind of internal makeup, Shraddha, consistency they have. And then according to that, their intake will be, their activities will be, their all, even the discipline, tapas will be according to that. And what they give, what they don't give will also be according to that. So in other words, if your goal is moksha, self-development, forget moksha, self-development at least. I should be a better human being. If your goal is self-development, moksha, then you got to prepare the environment, your body, your mind, your intellect according to that goal. Ahara, when you say, the food has a conducive effect to our mind. This class is from 11 to 12:15. Now, in villages and in South India especially, many of the people have this habit of having two meals a day. They have their first meal around 10:30, and then the second meal around 4:35 or 6, that's it. So supposing you come and sit in the class in the AC room after eating curd rice with potato fry, and here we come and chant Deva Sura Sampat Yoga. When you do that, the serotonin secreting after you having eaten all this kind of food is more conducive for you to go to sleep. So the whole idea is, you are a bundle of energy. That bundle of energy needs to be directed without dissipating to achieve your goal. So what kind of food is conducive for your purpose, for your goal? You got to find out that. There is a very interesting lecture by Swami Ramtirtha. Vedantic idea of eating meat, he says. The topic is Vedantic idea of eating meat. Vedanta is never against eating meat or not eating meat. There are so many people who are so-called vegetarians, they don't eat meat. But they chew brains. Nobody can live with them. I'm told Hitler was a vegetarian. You understand? And I believe strict vegetarian. Maybe if he lived now, he would have been vegan also. I don't know. A fellow being a vegetarian killed 600,000 Jews, putting them in gas chambers. So, we are not saying just because you start eating all sattvic food, you will immediately become sattvic and then only interested in self-realization itself. But the food has a conducive effect. Ahara. Similarly, I told you, ahara is not just the food that you give to the body. It's the thought also. So that's why Adi Shankara, we are going to do Bhajagovindam after this. There is a satsangatve nissangatve, nissangatve nirmohatve, nirmohatve nischalatatve, nischalatatve jivanmukti. Satsanga is very important. What kind of thoughts? That is very, very important. So, what do you take in? Does it dissipate your energy? Or it gives you that kind of conducivity to pursue this goal or not? You've got to find out that. So first the whole thing is set the goal and then work. And if the goal is evolution, self-development, becoming a better human being, evolving towards moksha, then you keep to the food which gives you energy, sustained energy to do that. Conducive to think, basically. Or you can choose another kind of food, whatever according to your goal. So rajasic fellow chooses that kind of food, tamasic fellow chooses that kind of food. They like that food. They go after that food. They have that particular like in them, they have that guna in them. Accordingly they go. So Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic food. So if you want to evolve, you've got to make sure that the intakes are regulated according to your goal. You decide that. So if you see, if you read the book, then he talks about food and all that. He talks about longevity, purity, calmness, strength, joy, cheer, all this. It has to be conducive for you to pursue the spiritual path. So easily digestible. You have to utilize the sattvic time in the morning. And accordingly, food has to be according to that. That's why they even talk about, when you talk about ahara niyama, even fasting comes in there. You try it out. Whenever you go through fasting, you observe your own mind. Sensual thoughts, it's not conducive for sensual thoughts. So that is why fasting, maunam, all these are associated in spiritual evolution. Maunam gives you an opportunity to observe your own mind, observe your own thoughts. So all these are important. Then he talks about activities, sacrifice. An action that is in the interest of larger group. Earlier Sri Krishna used the word loka sangraha. Loka sangraha mevapi. He said that in the third chapter to Arjuna. Arjuna, King Janaka and all, they don't want anything, man. They are all selfless souls. They are all working for the welfare of the world. They don't have any personal motive whatsoever. So a sattvic person does yajna for the welfare of the larger group. It is in accordance with this ordinance, scriptural ordinance. Whether they have gone through that or not. It's in the interest of the total. In the total, you are also included. Remember that. You are never neglected in the total. So therefore, they offer it because it has to be offered. They have no interest in the result. They have dedicated, the actions for that purpose, and whatever comes, they accept as prasad. Arpana bhav and prasad bhav, karma yoga, with that when they do, it becomes sattvic yajna. Rajasic yajna is for the purpose of acquisition, the world swelling with greed. They do with the mind that wants something in return. Their action is only for that, and they do it also with a lot of pomp and show. This is rajas. And tamasic is absolutely against the shastra. There is no goal. Holy mantras, he says. There is no holy mantras. There is no goal, no direction. There is no awareness. They want to dullen the awareness. So therefore, they get into such activities which destroys their awareness. The mechanical existence. This is the yajna done by the tamasic one. Firstly, he will not do anything. Even if he does, it will be in this way. With no food distributed, no mantras, no nothing. This is how he works. A tamasic fellow. See, what he is saying is, two levels are there. Paramarthika and Vyavaharika. Absolute and relative. Absolute level, Brahma Satyam, Jagat Nitya, Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. Brahman alone is real, Brahma Satyam, Jagat Nitya. This world is an illusion. This Jiva is nothing but Brahman alone. Jiva Brahmaiva Naparaha. Brahma eva na para. Nothing else other than Brahma. This is all it is. It's absolute level. But once you come to relative level, Vyavaharika level, practical level, then variety show is there. In this variety show, everything supplements and complements each other. A doctor requires an engineer to repair the diagnostic equipment when it goes wrong. He is dependent on the engineer. Engineer is dependent on the doctor when something goes wrong in his body. Who's superior, who's inferior here? Everybody is interdependent. So this is how the Dharma Chakra functions. So, Sattvic and Rajasic people, in the case of Sattvic people, they adhere to Shastra, they do contribution which helps them to evolve, helps others to evolve. In the case of Rajasic fellow, it helps him to materially prosper in the bargain. He may give few employment to few people and they may also materially prosper. But the Tamasic fellow, you see, his yajna, the whole thing is what? He wants the benefit, but nobody should prosper, only he. You remember, go back to the third chapter, he said, Sattvic person eats the remnants of sacrifice, Rajasic fellow cooks but eats sin, Tamasic fellow, he compared him to a thief. Sena eva saha, who eats without contributing, who eats without producing. So therefore he says he will conduct yajna, the rituals prescribed in the shastras maybe, for his benefit. Because if you do yajna, the devata is supposed to bless you. In the agni when you offer, the agni carries it to the respective devata to whom it is offered, and the devata blesses you with the benefits. And for you to do this yajna, in fact they say, as per Shastra, only a married man should do these yajnas, rituals. So you have to have Dharma Patni. She also has a role to play in that. And then priest is there. He chants the mantras and his role is also very important. So like that, everybody is there, but he doesn't want the benefit to be given to anybody. So that's why he says, no food distributed, no mantras chanted, mechanically it is done, and no gift, devoid of holy mantra, words of power, gift, and no faith or shraddha, deep consistency is not there. Belief is not there in giving, belief is only in taking. When you do that kind of activity, it becomes tamas. Then he comes to tapas. Tapas, sattvic level when he talks about, he says, kaika, vachika, manasa level, at all levels he does tapas. He prepares the body, prepares the organ of speech, and he prepares the mind. What is tapas? Tapas has two aspects. Tapas is twofold discipline. Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels and directing the conserved energy towards the higher. It's all. That is tapas, discipline. A conscious willing withdrawal from what will drain the energy and a conscious willing contact towards things that will help me evolve. This is tapas. So I prepare the body, the organ of speech. I associate this body with Guru, Shastra, etc. I read the scriptures daily, chant the shlokas. All these practices I do, even though there is difficulty in it, I put up with inconvenience and follow that because I'm preparing the mind, body and speech conducive to get there. This is sattvic tapas. Rajasic tapas is preparing all this to get to the expansion of wealth. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all they are interested. And the tamasic fellow is putting in that effort, harming oneself and harms others also. Torturous practices. They go through torturous practices to gain that power, to show that power on somebody else. पता है मेरे बाप कौन हूं, दैट्स सॉर्ट ऑफ एन एटीट्यूड. वंस दे गेट दैट पावर दे कम एंड शो द पावर ऑन समबडी एल्स. सी व्हाट इज द टेस्ट ऑफ कल्चर रिफाइनमेंट. The test of culture refinement. Who is powerful? When power has no power in front of you, you are powerful. When power has no power in front of you, you are powerful. We are all so-called good people till we get the power. The moment I get the power and we show this power with children, force them. They can't do anything now. They're trapped. Force it on children. Force it on old people. Because they're trapped. That is not culture. Culture or refinement is you should have maximum power but never use it at all. Never. That is culture. That is refinement. That is tamasical or no? The whole purpose is only for that purpose. To destroy and get everything for himself. Egoistic, tamas. Egocentric, rajas. Sattva is ecological. You can look at it like that. He puts himself as part of the total ecology. Sattvic. Rajas, propitiating, running after the egocentric desires. Tamas is more egoistic. And then when it comes to dhanam, sattvic dhanam is given as an obligation to those who deserve with no expectations in return, not necessary that they have done something to you. But this is needed, do it, get out. That's it. Being a spoke in the wheel of life. That's it. Nature is giving you, use recycle. Era tujhko arpan kya lage mera. This is sattvic. Taking the time, place, conduct, everything into consideration, using your intellect, you give, you sow the seed, you do dhanam. Dhanam is also a very important spiritual practice because, remember, spirituality is about not getting, spirituality is about giving away. Guru gives you that perfection or brings the perfection from within you by taking away the arrogance, taking away the unwanted things, anger, jealousy, greed. This is what the Guru does. This is what Sri Krishna wants to steal from us. Sri Krishna is known as somebody who steals. What does he steal? He steals all these things which are so valuable to us now, which are actually useless in the ultimate sense. He wants all of that he takes. So spirituality is about losing. It's nothing about gaining. If you have come into spirituality with the idea of gaining, you forget about it. Spirituality is about losing. So that precisely why dhanam is a very important quality in spirituality. There was a guru who was known as One Rupee Guru. He was a great sannyasi. He didn't want anything. He gave the knowledge. He was full of compassion. He did everything to anyone, whatever possible, not just gave knowledge. A lot of following he had. But anyone who comes and takes his blessings and go, he says, give me 1 rupee. Give me 1 rupee. So one devotee asks, Swami, I know you don't want this 1 rupee. What is this all the time asking this? Give me 1 rupee, give me 1 rupee. He says, by taking that 1 rupee, making you the giver, I am helping you to evolve. So there are people who are superficially takers, but they are givers. There are people who are superficially givers, but they are actually takers. You want to be known through your giving. That is rajasic, with ostentatious behavior. You go to any religion, Jesus Christ says the same thing. What your one hand gives, another hand should not know. But there is so much of name, fame, this, that. You think it's yours. It is not yours, it is Krishna's. You're laughing. You know, two countries, two individuals fighting. This land is mine, this land is mine. LOC, LAC, all kind of seas we are fighting. This is mine, this is yours. This is mine, this is yours. This is this. And land must be sitting and laughing. Are you fellows both? Both of you are mine. And eventually both of us go there. Land, we are saying land is mine. Land is saying, are you idiots, you both belong to me. Come back to me. We finally go into the land. And while living, fight for the land. So, once we understand this, spirituality is about you are giving up things. So therefore, dhanam is a very important exercise in spirituality. Yajna, dhana, tapa. After covering all this, then he comes to Om Tat Sat. Om is a designation of Brahman. It's a perfect designation of Brahman. Om is not a word, it's a sound. In fact, it covers the entire range of sound. When you say it starts from the throat, the beginning range, and fully open your mouth and say, and then your mouth half closed, and then and the sound ends. So the entire range of sound is covered by Om. And when you say, you fully opened your mouth. So, the fully manifested state is waking state that is represented by And the semi-manifested state is dream state, which is represented by And the unmanifest state is deep sleep state, which is represented by So, the are the sounds that has manifested from silence, and it represents the waking, dream, and deep sleep states of consciousness. These three states that we go through. And in and through these states, the consciousness pervades. Silence is there before the sound emanates, is there during the sound existing, and is there when the sound dissolves. So silence is all pervading and beyond as well. So O is and silence. The pure consciousness that pervades all these three and lies beyond. So therefore O is a perfect designation for Brahman. And that O is the goal. Reaching that consciousness. A human being has the potential to rise to that highest consciousness. So, tat. And when you rise to that highest consciousness, thereafter, whatever you do, you live, you breathe in sat, in existence, in goodness, in auspicious things. So, Om Tat Sat is that designation of Brahman. And any ritual, anything that you do, you start with Om. Either Om Tat Sat or Om. That Om alone is the Sat. That Om is the goal. So you start with Om, you end with Om. In fact, they say, even if you have some negative qualities, negativities, which you are struggling to get over, it's okay, no problem. Instead of, you know, fighting with them, regulate them. For example, if you have a certain habit, somebody, in fact, one fellow asked me in Chandigarh when I had gone there for lecture 2 years ago. Sir, I have been studying Vedanta for many years. I'm struggling to get over this meat eating habit. I'm not able to give up meat. I said, who asked you to give up meat? Don't force, don't fight with it. I said, daily study and do the other sadhana. These are important. Regulate your meat eating. Instead of eating every meal, every day, once in a week or twice in a week. And say your prayers before eating and eat consciously, not with guilt. You do this over a period of time, the meat will give you up. You don't have to give up meat. Meat will give you up. This works. In fact, in tradition, there are people who go to steal. That is their whole, what do you call? The whole life they've been stealing, stealing only, and they teach this to their generations, and they all do puja and then go to steal. Now, if you do anything mechanical, nothing works. But if you do it with sincerity, when you're walking closer and closer to a fire, you will start seeing the heat getting into your body. You become hot. Similarly, as you get slowly, slowly exposed to this awareness, these higher aspects, the lower has to be gone. Krishna will steal the lower. He will. So that's all he's saying. Therefore, Om Tat Sat. Even so-called habits, if you have, Sarvam Krishna Pranamastu. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. That is the attitude he's saying here. Om Tat Sat. It can be Shri Krishna, it can be Shiva, whatever that you're inspired by. End of the day, keep on fanning the awareness. Begin and end these activities, food, yajna, dhana, tapa, by chanting Om Tat Sat. Or simply Om. Be in the in that awareness, you are no doubt you will evolve. And once you develop this kind of sattva, a sattvic state of mind, then you can attain moksha through the knowledge. That is discussed in the 18th chapter, which we'll see next week. Now this coming Sunday, all of you are aware, I have already sent it in the group, I will put it again. There is a lecture by Swamiji for Guru Purnima. And Sunday evening, I think the talk lecture is at 6.30 in the evening. 6.30pm to 7.30pm. Lecture by Swamiji. The topic is personal rehabilitation. So, I will put it up again in the group. You can go and register. It's an online lecture on this Sunday, 6.30pm to 7.30pm. Personal rehabilitation. During COVID situation, we not only need physical immunity, we need emotional, intellectual immunity as well. A lot of people are going through difficult times sitting at home. A lot of disharmony, this, that, no space for each other. That is creating a lot more differences. We need to know how to rehabilitate ourselves. So this topic is chosen. So go and register and try to attend that lecture. Let's conclude. ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि। हरि ओम्।